VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, January 22, 2021 marks the 48th anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision in which a majority of the court said it was, and I put this in quotes, legal to take the life of an innocent human being in the womb. Now, some 48 laters, the blood of over 62.5 million is on their hands. Something else that ought to shock you. Did you know that there have been more deaths by abortion in the first 19 days of 2021 worldwide than have died worldwide of coronavirus in all of 2020 and 2021 combined? As of 1:45 Central Time this afternoon, just a quarter hour ago, the number of deaths from COVID since it broke out a year ago was 2,058,259. That's COVID deaths worldwide since the pandemic broke. But in just the first 19 days of 2021, worldwide, there was 2,166,622 abortions. That's over 100,000 more abortions in 2021 alone compared to all of the COVID deaths since the start of the pandemic. Well, this week we're in a transition from one administration that has respect for life in the womb to a new administration that favors the taking of life in the womb and forcing taxpayers to fund it. Joining me for discussion on numerous life-related issues, we welcome back Brad Mattis. Brad is the president of Life Issues Institute. They are the pro-life grassroots partner of the Susan B. Anthony List Education Fund. Life Issues Institute, founded in 1991 to serve the educational needs of the pro-life movement. Brad is a host of the Life Issues program. It's a daily radio commentary, also producers of multiple pro-life specials, including one they recently released, We Will Be Their Voice, the New Pro-Life Generation. Brad, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
The Trump administration really advanced the cause of life, as you know, Brad, on so many fronts and policies, executive actions, speaking at March for Life, judicial picks. Such actions really began on day number one in the Trump presidency and continued to the very end. One of his final acts as president was a proclamation declaring January 22, 2021 as National Sanctity of Human Life Day. Before we talk about this proclamation itself, your comments on what we saw for life under a Trump administration.
Oh, where do I begin, Jim? Like on first day, one of the things that he did was the Mexico City policy, which is now called the Global Protect Life Rule. And that was begun by Ronald Reagan, and it protected about $500 million tax dollars from being used to promote or provide abortion overseas in other countries. Not only did he and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, you know, get that up and running, but they expanded it enormously. So under the Trump administration, almost $9 billion tax dollars are being protected from promoting abortion or providing it. And I know it's working because we're hearing and have been hearing the international pro-abort crowd just scream to high heaven. And we know when the other side screams that we're being effective. And that's just one example. Trump has set the bar very high for the next pro-life president that's elected. He's going to have a roadmap of where he or she needs to go.
Well, Brad, as I mentioned, it started on day one, and it's continuing to the very end as he has just issued the National Sanctity of Human Life Day Proclamation for 2021. And I'd like to just read the opening paragraph and get your comment on this. His proclamation says this: every human life is a gift to the world. Whether born or unborn, young or old, healthy or sick, every person is made in the holy image of God. The Almighty Creator gives unique talents, beautiful dreams, and a great purpose to every person. On National Sanctity of Human Life Day, we celebrate the wonder of human existence and renew our resolve to build a culture of life where every person of every age is protected, valued, and cherished. I mean, he really says it all in that opening paragraph.
a lot of biblical truth in that proclamation, isn't there? And this is a man who, 3 years before he was elected president, we held a lot of skepticism about, because a few short years before he ran for president, he supported partial birth abortion, which is killing a baby during delivery. Now, God got a hold of his heart, and he is a Christian, and he is rock-solidly pro-life. It just goes to show that you should never underestimate what God will do with the human heart in the ways that he will use him for his kingdom.
Brad, there was something else that he did in this proclamation, and it takes us really to the end. I mean, he did speak about caring for women in unexpected pregnancies. He spoke of supporting adoption and foster care, but he said something else near the very end, and here's how the proclamation reads. He said, "I ask every citizen of this great nation to listen to the sound of silence caused by a generation lost to us, and then to raise their voices for all affected by abortion, both seen and unseen." Brad, the sound of silence he refers to is both a sobering sound and also a horrifying sound.
Oh, it is. Norma McCorvey, who was the Roe and Roe v. Wade, talked about the silence in the playground and the empty swings as a result of legalizing abortion. That resolution that Trump released couldn't have been more eloquent or powerful than if we had a pro-life leader write it themselves.
We were certainly seeing many pro-life accomplishments. And again, Brad, he was the first president in the history of the United States to actually address the March for Life, correct?
Yes, he was. And we not only had him address the march, but we also had Vice President Pence address the march. Those two were two peas in a pod. They both are absolutely dedicated to protecting life, helping women who face unexpected pregnancies. Their hearts were there, and it was shown time and time again. We would communique from the White House frequently, and they came up with another idea of how they could expand the pro-life point of view or ethic. And it was so encouraging, such a delight to work with such a pro-life administration.
Brad, are you optimistic regarding the judicial appointments, both at the Supreme Court as well as the federal bench, other courts?
Yeah, I am. I am indeed, Jim, and that was the legacy that I think will prove to be his most important one. A lot of these other executive orders and things can be reversed by Joe Biden, but the legacy on the court will affect future generations. And for the first time, I believe, ever, we have a majority on the Supreme Court that believes in upholding the sanctity of life and the Constitution, understanding that abortion is not in the Constitution and is not protected. So I think the other side, while they're reveling in the victory, so-called victory of Biden as president, they have to be very, very gravely concerned of what the Supreme Court will do with things before it.
Brad Mattis is with us today, president of Life Issues Institute. And Brad, we were warned, and it's coming to pass, that as Joe Biden promised, abortion is going to be a priority of his, not only on the first day, but also the first days in office. Such things that we were told are going to fall by the wayside are some things like the Mexico City policy. Again, for those not familiar with this, what exactly is Mexico City policy?
Well, as we discussed earlier, Jim, it also now goes by the Protect Life, Global Protect Life rule that protects tax dollars from being used to fund or promote abortion overseas or in other countries. And we expect to see a quick reversal of that because it has been so effective. I'm sure that Planned Parenthood and other abortion advocates in the abortion industry put that as their top wish from the president.
It's also anticipating, and you call it the International Protect Life Rule, but it's also interesting to know that we had a Protect Life Rule passed here in the United States. This was a rule put in order by President Trump, and it kept significant funding from going to Planned Parenthood. And this Protect Life Rule, this was just upheld recently by the Supreme Court, saying, yeah, what he did here was constitutional.
Yes, yes. And see, these are all things that I think should give us great encouragement and give the other side a cause for pause. Another one of those just happened last week, Jim, and that's that the Supreme Court upheld the FDA guidelines for requiring that women who take the chemical abortion pill, they must receive it in person at an abortion facility and not a do-it-yourself DIY abortion by mail. That is a dangerous pill, and it is those guidelines were there for a reason, and the Supreme Court ruled 6-3 in favor of pro-life President Trump. And get this, the Chief Justice, John Roberts, actually authored the majority opinion. We've been a little concerned about him with good reason, and so that was an encouraging aspect of it. But I think the new justice, Amy Coney Barrett, is going to have a positive influence on the Chief Justice and give courage to other members of our court to speak out on behalf mm-hmm. of life.
Now, these rules that were just upheld by the Supreme Court, the Protect Life Rule and then also the guidelines in regard to the administration of abortion pills, etc., these rules could be proposed now to be overturned by a Biden administration. Is that a threat there?
Yes. Oh, yes. A lot of what President Trump did is subject to being reversed by Biden. What is so monumentally important is that just the degree of effort that President Trump and his administration went to, looking for every possible avenue to further the cause of innocent human life.
I think it's also interesting that we've been hearing a lot about the Hyde Amendment, that this is going to be targeted. What is the Hyde Amendment, and is this something that, this new administration can do away with?
Well, no, the administration can't do away with it, but they control extreme pro-abortion Democrats control now the House and the Senate and the White House. It is going to be a tough row to hoe to keep the Hyde Amendment intact. And what that does is prevent our tax dollars from being used in any legislation in America that would promote or provide abortion. It has saved well over 2 million people since it has been enacted, and we want to protect those who need assistance by the government in health care the most and not promote abortion with it.
So is this something they can overturn with just a majority vote? I mean, if they do make it part of a reconciliation bill rather than even a filibuster vote?
Well, there are various ways that they could go about that. It would be most easily done in the reconciliation process of working out the differences between the House and the Senate with legislation. But we are going to be working very hard with those Democrats who may side with us on the Hyde Amendment.
We're going to take a quick break here. Brad Mattis with us from the Life Issues Institute. Roe v. Wade at 48 years, our topic today. Back in 1 minute on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, where is the Garden of Eden today?
Chris, we don't know. The location of the Garden of Eden is forever lost. After Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden, God placed an angel to guard the entrance so that no one could go there again. There is no such place on earth that's guarded by a fearsome angel. The Bible does tell us, however, that in the days of Noah, the world was totally restructured by that great flood. All landmarks of the previous world were destroyed. The earth was completely restructured by that flood, so we wouldn't expect to find the Garden of Eden. While the names of the rivers that are given in Genesis do correspond to modern-day river names, they don't actually correspond to any known rivers. Chris, let's go back to Genesis and think carefully about what it teaches there.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us today, president of Life Issues Institute. Roe v. Wade at 48 years, our topic today. And as we mentioned in that first segment there, from day one entering office until his final hours in office, President Trump standing for life in every possible way as far as his picks for many positions, as far as proclamations and rules that he put in place at the FDA and Health and Human Services and numerous other locations as well, and then also several of his judicial picks. Brad, I'd like us to now talk about some of the Biden nominations, because the names have been floated out, and now the confirmation process is going on already. And some of the names that have come up and are working through the process in one form or another is California Attorney General Becerra. He's been described as a radical pro-abortion politician, no medical background, but yet, Brad, he's tapped to run Health and Human Services.
Yes, yes, and an extreme individual. I've read recently that they want to do on the federal level what they've done in California. And that is absolutely appalling. Americans should be very concerned about that, because California is imploding because of all the poor policy decisions and people running that state. And we are just going to see an echo of that in Washington, and the people of America need to be concerned.
There's also Francis Collins, a scientist who's been defending using aborted baby body parts in research to head up the National Institutes of Health. Brad, that doesn't give me comfort.
No, no. And see, we've been going to the National Institutes of Health to combat that very thing, to stop it from happening. We've had a measure of success. And now, if this person is confirmed, we're going to have somebody in there that's doing the exact opposite. People need to understand, if they haven't already, that elections matter. We need to come out in droves to protect pro-life candidates, to support them, because the office of the presidency is so powerful and so important. He or she appoints people that go into various departments that affect the lives of every living American.
We're going to move on to another cabinet position, and this is Rhode Island Governor Gina Raimondo, who signed a state law legalizing abortions for basically any reason up to birth, is nominated, Brad, to be Commerce Secretary.
Yeah, yeah, and we can expect to see that the commerce and the money that she deals with will be, in, if it, at all possible, promoting and providing for abortion, whether it be our tax dollars or making life easier for the abortion industry, in particular Planned Parenthood, that is a multi-billion dollar organization thanks to us taxpayers with an extreme pro-abortion agenda. People, the abortion industry is going to have an ally in various aspects of wherever Biden puts these extreme individuals.
Okay, here's another one. This is Deb. It's either Holland or Haaland. This is a New Mexico congresswoman, and she is one that has been put into the nominated for Secretary of the Interior. That's another cabinet position, but she's one that was accused of defaming the pro-life teens at the March for Life here recently, Brad.
Yeah, she, to say it over and over again, they're extreme, really is an understatement. And it seems as though that they are putting in people just as radical as possible, not happy with putting somebody in that would be qualified for the position, but their qualifications would be just how extreme they can be on abortion and other things. And it goes so far beyond policy. I mean, we're talking about attacking people and their character and individuals. And when you attack teens, pro-lifers who want to stand up for the most vulnerable segment of society, unborn children. That is an example that we just hang our heads in shame that America is coming to that.
And yet, folks are told, you know, rescue is on the way. We're going to, you know, we're the plea to unify our nation. How can we unify a nation when we have those that are targeting the most vulnerable amongst us? Right, here's another. I mean, we look at the chief of staff for a Biden administration, Ronald Klain. He recently described himself as a soldier in the army of the radical pro-abortion group NARAL.
Yes. And that isn't a very extreme organization. You know, they crash and burn. They don't leave anything behind. It's take no prisoners. We're going to enforce our agenda. We're going to force abortion down the throats of Americans, whether they like it or not. That is the attitude of the people we're dealing with.
Let me just mention one more here, and this is Dr. David Kessler, who is the one picked to lead the COVID vaccination effort. Judicial Watch, Brad, reported that Kessler oversaw the process that promoted the abortion drug RU486 to America under the Clinton administration.
Yes, and isn't it interesting that now we have him being involved as a key figure in an aspect of healthcare that is going to impact so many millions of Americans, a lot of those vulnerable to COVID that will depend upon vaccines and help to protect their lives. This is the type of people we have now instead of those who respect life and want to care for it.
And then let's not fail to mention the pick for Vice President Kamala Harris. She's got quite a history, too, in the state of California, Brad.
She has been listed as the most radical, the most extreme, the most far leftist senator in the nation, and that was not by subjective qualifications. They were very specific guidelines, whether they voted on this, took a position on that, and she was named the most extreme, the most far left senator. Now we have somebody that's a vice president, and you and I and most of the country understand there are serious questions, legitimate questions, about the cognitive abilities of Joe Biden as president. What will be interesting is how long she will sit back and wait before she wants to exert her pressure and political muscle to push Biden out of the way and take the presidency in the Oval Office herself.
Yeah, it's interesting because they said, hey, we need to have the vice president invoke the 25th Amendment to remove President Donald Trump, but it may be that the stage is set for the 25th to be used to remove the next president of the United States.
Absolutely, and the sad thing is there may be a very good reason and cause for that. He was very much protected and kept out of the limelight during the campaign. And so it may be easier than we might realize, not knowing the specifics behind the scenes.
Brad Mattis with us today, Life Issues Institute, their website, lifeissues.org. You'll find much helpful information on their site, lifeissues.org. And in light of all that's going on, Brad, things really boil down to what's going on in the states. And when we examine the states, there's both good happening as well as evil that's taking place. So let's just examine some of this. I see in New Jersey, for instance, they're seeking to this New Jersey Reproductive Freedom Act to allow non-doctors to abort babies up until the time of birth. Sounds like what they did in New York.
Yes. And that is something that should send a chill up the spine of people who live there, because unqualified individuals are going to be able to do abortions. And if it's like New York's law, they will take away any right of the woman who has been maimed or even killed, take a right, her right or her family's right away from seeking justice. They will actually protect those people who are hired killers.
I see. Also, let's see. Now, we mentioned New York there, but you told me here as we're starting the interview that there is a class action lawsuit against going on with regard to New York.
Yes, and it does my heart good that they're suing Governor Cuomo. He's a person that deserves all the flack he can be dished. Yes, there's an organization called Women's Alliance Against Violence, which was established to sue the governor and other various officials and entities in New York because of the extreme pro-abortion law that they passed. They redefined the term person to exclude the unborn baby anytime during pregnancy. Now, this flies in the face of over 200 years of criminal law in place in New York. And in addition to that, they will allow abortion for any reason throughout pregnancy. They vaguely define the term of those who do abortionists, which we call, you know, that do abortions, which we call abortionists. And so it could easily be somebody who is not qualified or should not be providing any health care, let alone a dangerous surgical procedure. And it's going to enable them to hire these thugs off the street because abortionists are getting fewer and harder to come by. And then when they maim or kill women, they and the abortion mill will be protected by law from the new law coming out. And so that is why some women are suing the state in class action, because their rights of protection and choice are being overridden. If a criminal assailant kills an unborn baby anytime during pregnancy, no longer will the mother or the woman's family be able to seek justice on the death of that baby. Mm. That baby has no legal standing he or she enjoyed before. It is just absolutely appalling the extent with which this evil has expanded under extreme Democrat leadership in the state.
We talked about New Jersey briefly, New York here as well. Let's look at one other New England state, and this is Massachusetts. There had been this pro-abortion bill that the Republican governor there, Charlie Baker, had vetoed, but the legislature has overridden that veto that now allows for 16- and 17-year-olds to get an abortion without parental consent or judicial permission. Brad, this is horrendous for the state of Massachusetts.
Oh, it is. And imagine families who have daughters who are 15, 16, 17, and concerned that if their child gets pregnant, they can just go and have an abortion, which is a life-altering situation that they will never be able to undo. The parents will be kept totally in the dark, will have no rights, and that is part of the extreme pro-abortion reality. This is what legal abortion is all about. Nothing should get in the way of providing and collecting exorbitant fees for killing unborn babies.
One other, and let's go to the other coast here quick before the break, and this is California. We understand now that there was a law put into effect mandating colleges, universities give free abortion drugs to students up to 10 weeks of pregnancy. Governor Newsom signed this into law in 2019, and we understand that now California colleges are soon going to be offering these free abortion pills to students on campus.
And what that's going to do, Jim, is turn dorm rooms into abortion facilities.
My.
Because they will give them the pills, which they will take to their dorm rooms and take and suffer the consequences.
We're going to take a quick break, but folks, this has been doom and gloom, some of these things. We're going to show you some bright things that are going on in the states as well. So stay with us and be encouraged here. Brad will have more information to share about other things that are taking place. Back in a minute, this is Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book Who is the King in America by William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's Republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Brad Mattis is with us from Life Issues Institute. Again, their website, lifeissues.org. Our topic today, Roe v. Wade at 48 years, as January 22, 2021 marks the 48th anniversary of the infamous Roe v. Wade Supreme Court decision. And since that time, some 62.5 million babies in the womb have been killed by means of abortion. And bringing this to our conscious level here once again, both conscious and conscience level here across this nation. Brad, we focus on what's going on in some of the horrendous things in states. I would say some of the evil things that are going on. There is a bright spot happening in some states as well. For instance, I see in Kentucky, there's legislation to protect newborns who survive an attempted abortion has made it to the desk of the governor there. And I understand he was looking at vetoing this. I don't know if he's done that yet or not?
Well, they expect that he will. He's a very pro-abortion governor, but it looks very hopeful that the legislature will overrule that that veto. So we expect that that legislation hopefully will pass into law and, of course, probably be challenged immediately. But that's part of the process. And one of the things we want to do, Jim, about these late-term abortion-type bills is to get a split decision in appellate court levels, where one appellate court has supported the constitutionality of legislation like that and another has opposed it. That gives incentive for the Supreme Court to take the case and give a final determination on it.
This was really interesting. I should have started with this one, but Missouri looks like it to be the first abortion-free state. I guess we had the last abortion clinic closed down, and Planned Parenthood in St. Louis is, well, I guess they're referring people across the border, but abortion-free in Missouri?
Yes, yes. It's the first state. You know, Missouri is very pro-life. They have been on the cutting edge with legislation. Last year they passed legislation that I called the kitchen sink legislation because everything was in there except the kitchen sink. And it was set up so that if one part of it was ruled unconstitutional, the rest of the law would stand. They have really been at the forefront. Now, Planned Parenthood has been fighting pro-life legislation, and what they've done is they've built a mega abortion mill across the state line into Illinois, and they are referring all abortions over there, but none at the moment are taking place in the Planned Parenthood in Missouri.
I saw on LifeNews.com the other day, too, North Dakota banning abortions and would charge abortionists with murder for killing unborn babies.
Yes, yes. We are going to see more and more of this as there is encouragement that we will have a court that will be more favorable to legislation. At the same time, having said that, I don't anticipate, and court watchers generally agree, we don't think the Supreme Court will, in one fell swoop, reverse Roe v. Wade. We think that what they'll do, based upon the Chief Justice and other things we've seen, is that they'll begin to whittle away at Roe, eventually to the point where it is a moot point.
Brad Mattis with us here today. Brad, lots of things in other states. They see South Dakota Governor Noem proposing a ban on Down syndrome abortions. In South Carolina, there's a committee that passed a bill to ban abortions after the baby's heartbeat has begun. I see also in Ohio, the governor there signed a bill on banning on telemed abortion pills, as well as recognizing humanity of unborn babies, requiring burial or cremation. Some places we know that there is fetal pain related bills going on, as well as states that are seeking to say, hey, you cannot abort a child based upon the gender of the child, or there's some feature about that child you do not like. So, I mean, multiple issues coming up in multiple states here.
And those things are very effective in whittling away at the abortion industry when you pass legislation that requires them to give a decent burial or cremation for babies that they've killed through abortion. That adds to the overall bottom line, takes away from the bottom line, and that will impact them. The discrimination abortion bills that stop abortion when done because a baby was diagnosed with Down syndrome, sometimes other disabilities in the womb, it would prevent that. And U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas encouraged this type of bill specifically. He said that it's a matter of first impression, which what he meant by that is that there's no precedence regarding this type of legislation. The court has never considered it before. And so as you see these bills making their way through the court system, you'll again see one appellate court may uphold it and another not. Well, then that's encouraging because we feel that the Supreme Court will be more inclined to take it up. And we think with the makeup of this court, we're going to see some relief for those babies and their mothers.
Well, Brad, not only are you optimistic that there's going to be a change coming forth, you know, from the Supreme Court, but it appears that even the radical pro-abortion groups are suspecting such a change coming too. And I printed this off earlier this month from LifeSiteNews.com, in which the NARAL Pro-Choice America President Elise Hoag was on a podcast interview with the Daily Beast. And said, she said, we're certainly preparing for an end of Roe v. Wade. We absolutely could. We'd certainly be preparing with our partners in the movement for that. So even this radical pro-abortion group knows that something's afoot here as it relates to abortion.
And they've seen the writing on the wall, Jim. They've been preparing for this for some time already. It is accelerating, of course. But the chemical abortion pill is the future of the abortion industry. And what they tried so hard to do during the pandemic was to get allowances to mail order those abortion drugs to people, to women without any medical examination, medical history. Profuse bleeding is an expected side effect of those pills. And when a woman is home alone, aborting by herself, and she doesn't know when she's crossed the line of expected bleeding and bleeding out. It's an appalling situation to put a woman through. It is not pro-woman by any stretch of the imagination.
Brad, you have just recorded and you released to stations across the country a radio special. Some are just airing it right now as well. A VCY Network aired it last weekend. We Will Be Their Voice, the New Pro-Life Generation, in which you're looking at young people that are being raised up and being that pro-life voice. You're very optimistic as it relates to a pro-life generation coming forth here.
No, I am. I am very optimistic. This generation is more pro-life than their parents before them. When I did these interviews, I interviewed Lila Rose, founder and president of Live Action, and also six other students beginning at the age of 12. And there was a pattern that became very self-evident as I did these interviews, and there was a boldness and a passion for justice and a desire to protect them, a boldness to act to end the killing. These young people, it has not been lost on them that they're abortion survivors. They somehow survived their time in the womb while abortion was rampant and allowed for any reason. And this groundswell of young people are bold, they're tech savvy, and they're going out and they're organizing groups on campuses throughout the United States and high schools and universities, and they're reaching out to students peer-to-peer, and that's where they can be so effective, because those women who are in high school and college age are the greatest number of abortions done in that age group. So we have so many young people reaching out, and they're reaching out in empathy and love and support and decency because they know that's what's effective. And I was so very much encouraged, even more so than I was before doing these interviews, that this generation is going to help us, I believe, carry that victory across the finish line.
Our phone number here to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. Your questions that you have, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps a brief comment, 800-733-9829 for today's Crosstalk. Brad, I know for the first time in almost 50 years, there is not going to be an annual March for Life in Washington, D.C. Organizers canceled it due to COVID. So there are those who just say, well, I guess we have to wait another year until we speak for life. That's not the case, is it?
No, it's not. And they need to investigate what's being done in their local levels. In Cincinnati, for instance, where I lived for almost 28 years, there was always an event downtown on Fountain Square. So even though it's been canceled except for a symbolic March for Life, there are other things. And for instance, what we featured in that special with the young people was the Walk for Life in Chicago, and they took it on the road. It's still out on the road where they're organizing drive-in type events in these various cities throughout the Midwest. And that's why it's so encouraging. These young people are so creative. So there's going to be a lot going on, even though we can't be in Washington this year. I'm very saddened about that, but the effort goes on. You cannot keep good pro-lifers down.
Yeah, and folks, keep in mind this, that with the, just as the pro-radical abortion forces are looking at an overturn of Roe v. Wade, they know the important battle will happen in the states. And that's why they're focusing on getting state-level, abortion upon demand, abortion up until birth, laws passed in states so that in the event Roe v. Wade is overturned, it goes back to the states. And what your law is on your books is what will govern your state. So you need to stay plugged in. And Brad, is there an organization you can recommend where people can stay involved legislatively in their individual states across the nation?
Yes, there are various resources you can go to. You know, Google your state pro-life organization. If you want to get involved as a youth, we have all kinds of links associated with that special that is airing. And you can go to lifeissues.org, lifeissues.org, and click on the panel up above the banner. And if there's something where you can't find the niche you're looking for, all you have to do is reach out to us through lifeissues.org, and we will help you make that connection.
Again, folks, the website lifeissues.org. Let's go to the state of Kansas. We have Esther calling. Hi, Esther, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm in an area where you kind of fade in and out, so I may have missed something. And I know you're talking about abortion, but there was a man on the radio recently, and I wished I could have given you his name. I can't. But he seemed to know Amy Barrett quite well, the new judge. And he said she's always been for big businesses. And he said, do not count on her at all to pass Roe versus Wade. I don't know whether you'd ever heard anyone say that, but I just heard that recently on the radio.
Okay, I don't know what radio I heard that on, but Brad, that is contrary to what so many in the pro-life movement have said.
And there are always naysayers, no matter who it is. I mean, if Jesus Christ came down and was a candidate for the Supreme Court, there would be those, I guarantee you, who wouldn't believe he would support life. And we know Amy Coney Barrett was our number one choice for the previous two nominations, and the reason was is we know so much about her. As a college professor at Notre Dame University, she signed on to a big advertising asking for the end of abortion. She has been involved in the process. We really don't have any doubt about where she stands.
Thank you, Esther. We're up against a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds. We'll be taking more of your phone calls right after. This is Crosstalk on the VCY American Network. Brad Mattis with us, lifeissues.org, the website. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, it looks like we're just hours from a new administration, the Biden administration. What can we expect? Well, we don't have to guess. Secular Democrats have already put out a report, 25 pages. Not very long. But what do they cite as their main target in a Biden administration? Conservative people of faith. They openly talk about using a Biden administration to decide who is a legitimate nonprofit church and who is not. And how will they decide that? Based on whether or not you teach a Judeo-Christian worldview in the area of public policy. In fact, the report says they do not want Joe Biden or any of his administration representatives using the term "In God We Trust" or Judeo-Christian. My friends, we're in perilous times, as the Bible forewarned.
And we're going right back to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk with special guest Brad Mattis. We're going to continue with Mark in Monroe, Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air. Hello, Mark. You're on the air. Okay, guess we lost Mark here. Let's go then to David in Salisbury, Maryland. David, you're on the air.
So I want to give a word of wisdom to the church today. It says in Revelation 3 that the church of Laodicea, Jesus said, "I counsel you to buy me gold, shine, and fire, because we think we are increased with goods. We think we are rich in the physical aspect, and the Lord tells us to buy gold, shine, and fire, and mm-hmm. this might mean persecution."
Mm-hmm.
So what I want to say is, during the time of Laodicea, Domitian persecuted Christians, not like Nero did. Nero, you know,
okay, David, let me have you circle back to the topic on abortion here today, our topic.
Right. Well, anyway, I just want to say that if this new administration does get inaugurated and if they do push these abortion laws, I encourage churches and church leaders and people of faith to stand up, and because we could be persecuted through mm-hmm. that aspect.
Yeah, thank you for that, David. Indeed. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We're told about that. And, Brad, likewise, we are to be that voice for the voiceless, are we not?
Oh, absolutely, and we do expect that persecution is going to increase. They're going to attack us economically, personally, physically, in any way that they can. What we've seen the last year has not been encouraging, but we will not give up. We will continue to stay the course and be in God's will. It means that all of us need to be in daily prayer and scripture reading to get our strength.
Thank you, David. We're going to try Mark again in Monroe. Mark, you're on the air.
Yeah, the farce in this whole thing is the comparison of COVID-19 and the abortion deaths. I just want to remind everybody that just how much the stolen VP Kamala Harris, my opinion, how much she was instrumental in the attack and prosecution against David DeLayden and in the investigation he did in the selling of the baby body parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Bottom line is, my punchline is, you can wear a mask, but you can't hide the hypocrisy.
Oh.
That's my comment.
Thank you, Mark. And in regard to the center there that David was involved in, indeed, Kamala Harris was very much the prosecutor in that, Brad.
And she was aggressively so. You know, it's not often that investigative journalists are attacked for what they uncover, but this was the case. And she was the henchman of Planned Parenthood, defending them, spewing lies, and aggressively going after David DeLayden. So I'm glad you brought that up, Mark.
Richard's calling from Washington State. You're on the air, Richard.
Yes, thanks for taking the call, Jim. I'd like one thing addressed, and that's the Declaration of Independence. Let me just read briefly. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and the first right that we have at creation is life.
Mm-hmm.
And how can this be totally ignored when this is the founding document of the United States, and I never hear anybody talk about it.
Thank you, Richard. Brad, it's an important line there that he read.
It does. It is. And we have talked about it till we're blue in our face. We don't get a lot of media attention for that, and we will continue to talk that way. But, you know, as we see this world getting closer and closer to the end time, we can expect that they are just going to throw out the rule of law. Look what happened in major cities throughout the nation this past summer. They burned and killed and destroyed in a lack of total disregard for the law.
Thank you, Richard. Let's go to Jan in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Jan.
Yes, I have two things. One is a statement, one's a question. In 1973, just as abortion was being approved, we adopted two wonderful children. And my daughter, I'm 83 now, my daughter is closer to me than my own heart. She calls every day, visits me with me, and helps me out when I need help. And it is just a joy. And I urge everyone that is listening to consider helping. If you know of a teenager that gets pregnant, one of my children was a teenager that had been raped. But my question is, doesn't the Bible say that if you shed innocent blood, that person should also be killed?
Thank you for that question here, Jan. And Brad, we did see that laid down in Old Testament law, that there was death for those who shed innocent blood.
Yes, there was. And I don't want to get drawn into a capital punishment discussion because we don't take a position on that. But yes, the scripture is very clear about that and other aspects of life and how much he loved us and designed us. Psalm 139, for instance, talks about that. So it's clear message out there for us. All we have to do is read it and follow it.
Thank you, Jen, and we commend you on the adoption comments that you made there as well. Julie in Pensacola, Florida, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I'm not sure how to ask this question, but I'll go ahead and try. Now that we have, I believe, to be the most conservative Justice Supreme Court, is there any chance that Roe versus Wade can be reversed, but then we have this administration that will most likely stop it? But now, I'm not sure if we really do have...
I'll tell you what, we have 45 seconds. Brad, piece that together for Julie here.
Okay, well, Ginsburg said she was very upset by Roe v. Wade because it did too much too soon when a discussion was taking place. Perhaps the reverse might be true. Perhaps God is saying we need to do this bit by bit to bring everybody along the way. So we're going to follow his lead on that.
Okay, so if Roe v. Wade is overturned, this goes back to the states, and the Biden administration cannot stop that, correct?
No, they cannot. Yeah, they'd have to get two-thirds of the states to legislatures to come up with an amendment to allow abortion on demand, just as we try to do with life. It's out of their hands that goes back to the state.
I thank you for the call. I wish we had more time for other callers. We have run short, though. Brad Mattis is our guest. And friends, if you have further questions, follow up. Find information on their website, lifeissues.org. That's lifeissues.org. Brad, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's amazing how fast that time goes.
Indeed. Well, friends, thank you for joining us here today with a reminder to choose life.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.